Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Scott Petrak covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. Hello, sir. Brownzone.com. You can read all of Scott's work.
Hello, Scotty.
What's going on, guys?
Colin Coward going on. Think he has a source that actually knows what he's talking about there, or is he just making stuff up?
I'd like to assume the best. You know, he's been in this business a long time. He might have a source. I'm not going to say he doesn't. But I think, you know, Odell admitted as much when we talked to him. He wasn't happy at the time of the trade. He had mixed emotions, bittersweet, all those things. Von Miller says he was, quote-unquote, hurt when he first found out about it. And then he came to grips with it and has seemed to embrace it. So, you know, I think there's a disconnect between he was unhappy at the time of the trade and he's unhappy now and doesn't want to be in Cleveland. I didn't get that impression when we talked to him. Obviously, he's trying not to give that impression. But I do believe having Jarvis Landry here helps, and Adam Henry here helps, and Baker Mayfield here helps. So it just didn't matter. Colin Coward's thing did not mesh with what we've heard lately about Odell and, you know, kind of coming to grips and accepting and embracing his trade to Cleveland.
Scott, it's like this, and you get it. Like, you might run into somebody. Maybe you're going to get ice cream at your favorite ice cream shop, and someone says, oh, there's Scott Petrak. Man, he does a nice job of writing. You know what? I'm going to go. I heard that Odell Beckham Jr. doesn't want to be here. I'm going to go tell him while he's getting ice cream. Hey, Scott, read your stuff all the time. Hey, just want to let you know, I'm not so quite sure about Odell wanting to play in Cleveland. Now, I think he gets it now, but I'm not sure he wants to play here. And then you, like, running back on our air going, I heard he doesn't want to play here. And I also heard he likes vanilla ice cream, too. I don't know. I just look at this whole story. I think the part of what Colin said that kind of got under my skin just a little bit is him, you know, calling the Browns a dumpster fire, which I think a lot of people aren't doing anymore. Calling Baker Mayfield a child, and also really, and while I don't think he's wrong about the experience of your new head coach, I just kind of think he went over the top with his take. That's all.
Oh, I agree with that, and I thought it was repetitive when I watched it. And, you know, and I'm not a big media criticizing media guy, so, you know, I don't want to get too deep into, you know, what Colin's doing, but it does feel like he struck a chord with people or with the audience or with clicks or whatever when he ripped Baker Mayfield before the draft. And that must have generated some buzz for him. And, you know, when he had Baker on the show, it got a lot of attention. And we wrote about it and we asked Baker about it. And this just feels like the next step. Like, well, that worked. Let's continue to do it. Let's take big picture Brown stuff. Now they're going to be popular. Now we can talk about, you know, he isn't the first guy to do it. We saw, you know, LeBron James, right? There are LeBron James haters out there who it made no sense to hate LeBron James, but it generated a lot of attention. So this feels like the same kind of thing to me. And he might not be wrong about the Browns. You know, John Dorsey and Freddie Kitchens will tell you they haven't proven anything yet. But it doesn't feel like the same organization that it has been. It feels like they have turned a corner or on their way to turn a corner, and I think he's making assumptions that aren't fair to make.
Scott, the one thing I think everybody needs to realize, you want guys to be happy, sure, but they're also under contract, and they have to go where their contract is assigned. In this case, okay, hey, Odell, you've been traded to the Browns. Maybe you did want to go to Los Angeles, or maybe you did want to stay in New York, but this is the way pro sports works. And I would assume that he would come to grips with it and would figure it out and would continue to play well. Otherwise, he's going to, you know, hurt his own value.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. You know, and we don't know Odell well enough. You know, I've only talked to him that one time at the press conference. And we know that he didn't please everybody in New York and that his personality rubbed some people the wrong way. So I do think it's something to monitor. And if he genuinely did not want to be here, that would be bad, and that would it could have an adverse effect on the team. And you know, if he came in, if he didn't show up for any of the offseason stuff, and begrudgingly showed up and was kind of back channeling to get his way out of town, that would be something you'd have to keep an eye on, because I don't think that would be good for the organization. But I don't think that's the level we're at. And I think it was worth noting all the time, you know, when he went dark on Instagram, that was worth noting, because he had to process the trade and it meant something to him. And he's an emotional player, an emotional guy, and he had to deal with those. But I think we've gotten past that. I think he's gotten past that. And you're right. That's the reality of the situation. If he had to play somewhere other than New York, he said Cleveland would be the place he wanted to play. And I tend to believe him on that because of Baker and because of Jarvis. So, you know, I think the reality is he's going to be here. The reality is he's going to be motivated to play well. And I think we tend to forget, too, that if the team wins, all this stuff fades to the background. You know, the stuff in Pittsburgh, it probably would have faded to the background if Pittsburgh had managed to not fall apart at the end of the season and maybe made a run in the playoffs. Maybe the whole Antonio Brown thing doesn't blow up like it did. So, you know, as long as the Browns win, I think guys aren't going to complain about touches. They're not going to complain about a lack of opportunities. But as soon as stuff goes sideways, that's when kind of the more fragile egos rise to the surface. So, you know, I think that's something to watch out down the road. But if they win and they continue to do things the right way, everything should be okay.
Scott, when you sit down to watch the first round of the NFL draft this year, how much will you be at the edge of your seat to think that the Browns might try to get back in?
Well, at some point I will. You know, they can't get into the top 10, right? I don't think they have a desire to get into the top 10. So it won't start for a while. But I think once you get to 22, 25, it becomes somewhat realistic that they could get to that range. And then that's what I'll be paying attention to. You know, I'll be watching to see how the draft's falling. I'll be looking to see if Jeffrey Simmons goes, because to me, he's the guy that the Browns would try to trade into the first round for, the Mississippi State defensive tackle, who's talented but has a lot of baggage. He feels like the target if they're going to trade back in. So, you know, and with John Dorsey, you know, he's left the door open multiple times that he could try to trade back into the first round. And with his history, we've only seen him now for 15 months, but we also saw him in Kansas City. He's not afraid to make trades. He's not afraid to wheel and deal. And I think he feels he's coming from a position of power with where the roster is right now. And he's got the 8 draft picks. And he doesn't have those holes that he needs to fill. So he could chase one guy if he really wanted to do that. So at some point, that's where my radar will be fully engaged, is can John Dorsey move back into the first round?
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram. With that thought in mind, I don't know that he has to do anything. I love the fact that John has pretty much filled every hole that he needs to fill on this football team. And at this point, Scott, it's almost as if, okay, you know, he trades Kevin Zeitler. Well, he brought in two other veteran offensive linemen to fill things out. They have plenty of depth. You bring in two safeties, you know, after you trade Jabril Peppers. You might want to bring in another defensive lineman. I get that. And you might want to bring in another linebacker. But I don't see any glaring holes on this team right now, which is, I think, a great way to go into a draft.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And I think you can look at it both ways. Given your premise is, well, that gives you the freedom to make a bold move, to go chase a player or two. It also gives you the freedom to stand pat and just take the best player available at every spot, or only, you know, or make minor trades to go from 49 to 45, or, you know, something small, because I don't think you need to add 8 draft picks to this roster. I don't think 8 rookies make the team, so therefore maybe you want to get 5, and if you want to get 5 from, you know, the second through the fifth rounds, and that's where you make your money, or trade your later round picks for next year picks or whatever. But you're right. You know, I mean, they have plenty of areas where they can add depth. You know, could they add another young tight end? Yeah, a corner. You know, maybe another safety, linebacker you mentioned, defensive line. You know, maybe another third quarterback. I know they signed the guy last week from the AAF, but can you draft somebody in the fifth or sixth round? That makes a lot of sense to me. And then if you plan to trade Duke Johnson, you probably need to add a young running back. But it's all depth moves, and I do think that gives John Dorsey a ton of flexibility.
I think he does, too. On Adam Schefter's podcast, John Dorsey said it's business as usual. That's the way it is when asked about not having a first-round pick. Who's to say I won't go up in the first round? Love the way John's gone about this. You know, he's filled holes. He likes veteran players. He likes trades. I've always thought trades were so underutilized in the NFL, and Dorsey seems to embrace them.
Yeah, that's interesting. And John said the similar thing to us, I think, on a conference call after the Odell trade about, you know, he's open to moving back into the first round. So, you know, he's on record saying that. I don't think that is, you know, anything crazy. You know, I think all GMs would consider moving back up. But you're right about the trades, and I think we've seen more and more of it in the last 3 to 5 years in the NFL, is guys try to find that edge to move up, that edge to separate themselves in a business that is really, you know, the razor is margin, you know, it's razor thin, the margin to win and lose in this league. So guys are looking to do anything possible, and I think trades is a way to do that. And I think John's found a market there for guys that, you know, maybe they're still talented, but there's some reason their team doesn't want them, you know. And whether it's, you know, Olivier Vernon had a big contract and was kind of playing out of position, go get a guy like him. Odell Beckham, who's a franchise, is kind of, you know, he's worn out his welcome. Go get him. You know, Demarius Randall. We saw, I mean, that's how he built it. That's his first major move last year, Jarvis Landry. So there's an opportunity. And I think especially in Cleveland, where he was with an 0-16 team, you couldn't just sign a bunch of free agents because it wasn't an attractive spot. So there he found a way and a means to go get talent that, you know, I think was the best way to do it. So I think you're right. And I think John has shown that he's aggressive, more aggressive than a lot of GMs in this league. And it looks like it's paid off so far.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, man.
Guys.
He's Pat Track. He covers the Browns for the Chronicle Telegram. You can read all of his work at brownzone.com, and you can hear him with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.